And now, even as we're getting into the Christmas season, I've been talking to you on the subject of holiness and sharing with you the importance of that, and that I'm believing for revival. I'm believing for revival, particularly this next year. I want to see that. I want to see some things happen within our body. Lives being touched and changed, growth, all of those things that I've been believing God for. It's time to see some manifestation. Amen. We've been faithful, done what we're supposed to do. And now what's really going to happen is when we make this step towards working and perfecting our holiness, I believe that we're going to see God do some things in our lives. It's hard, to sometimes pinpoint things. And when I say that, that's no direct reflection on anybody. The bottom line is, any time that you see in the Word that revival began and revival broke out, it's when people made a recommitment to the Word of God, the things of God, and believing God's word. And so when we talk on the subject of holiness, that's what we're referring to. Once again, because it's important anytime you get to the subject of holiness, that we understand the difference between righteousness, which is who God has made us to be by sending his Son. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you become the righteous. And the righteous means, what does it mean if I say that we're righteous? It means that we have a rightness and a right relationship with God, right? And yes?
We're right standing with God.
Right. Amen. So we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And we have a rightness and right relationship with him. That's what God did. That's when we got saved and came to God, that's the work he did. But yet he gave us something to do. And the thing that you and I are responsible for is our holiness. Holiness is simply our behavior. Holiness is not something that somebody can place on you. It's not something that anybody can place in you. It's something that you have to do. And so holiness refers to our behavior. It's not just about being good. You've been made right with God. There's lots of people that think that because they're a good person, that they're going to go to heaven, because surely a good God would not send a good person to hell. But God set it up in the scripture and has established and ordained the way that works. We were born into the sinful nature. The only way that you're eligible for salvation and the only way that you're eligible for heaven doesn't matter how good you are, but that's that you accept, confess with your mouth, and believe on your heart the Lord Jesus. That's the only way. There's no other name under heaven by which you must be saved but what? The name of Jesus. You're not going to make heaven if you're not saved. Okay? So we need to make sure of that. Well, guess what? When we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, God does that work. But you and I are responsible to repent, which means to change the way we think. And you will never change the way you think unless you get into the Word of God, because it's only the Word that will change the way you think. And if we've ever lived in a day where the people need to change the way they think, it's today. Because let me tell you something. The Phillips translation talks about in Romans chapter 12, don't let the world form you into its own mold. Well, what's happened is, as the world has made decisions on about what the world thinks is right and wrong, not what the Word says, the world every day is trying to shape believers into its own mold to believe what they believe and what the world believes rather than what God has said in His Word. And you know what? So what happens is people begin to drift away from the things of God. You know, the same-sex marriage thing is becoming a big issue right now. And you know, the Word's pretty plain about that. And so they can have homosexual pastors and homosexual churches, and you can have people tell us that we're not tolerant. It's not that we're not tolerant. I love everybody the same. I don't care if they're homo, hetero, bi. I don't care what it is. I love them the same. God does too. But He's very plain in the Scripture about how we're to live our lives and what marriage is and what family is. And so this is going, it's already been to the Supreme Court, but it's going back to the Supreme Court for the judges to look at it again just to make sure that they've made the right decision. Of state laws, two states, so we've got like seven states in the United States that have okayed marijuana for medicinal purposes. And I do think that there are some things that marijuana is good for medicinal purposes. I know for a fact that it works good for people who have anybody that has some type of diagnosis where wasting is a part of that, cancer, HIV, a lot of things like that, where people don't have appetite and they've got a lot of other different things going and they're allergic to a lot of medications. Well, guess what? There is medicinal purpose in that. However, you can't just say, well, I have post-traumatic stress syndrome. You know, post-traumatic stress syndrome is something like fibromyalgia and, you know, sudden infant death syndrome. You know what sudden infant death syndrome is? That's SIDS. That's a baby that's died. That's not a diagnosis. That means the baby died suddenly. Well, you know what? When people are trying to find out what's wrong with people, they go, I ache all over. I hurt all over. And they can't find anything else? Fibromyalgia. They just give it to them. And so in those states where marijuana has become medicinal, if you're depressed, smoke some weed. Here's a script. Everybody knows that you don't get more depressed when you smoke weed. But everybody does know this. It's been proven throughout throughout science and the world that marijuana is a gateway drug to other things. You get a little buzz going, you're more likely to drink alcohol. You're more likely to do other drugs that are available out there. Prescription drugs have gone crazy. But now two states in the United States have allowed marijuana to be legal in their state for recreational use. So you don't have to go to the dealer no more. Just go to the store. What do you want? Well, I was wanting some of that skunk weed back there. Because I hear that a really rough week, man. I want some red hair sent to me over. Now, see, state law in those two states say that that's okay. But even for medicinal purposes, it's against federal law. So guess what? Now we live in a country where individual states are breaking the federal law. And they're allowing it. Do you know why? Because Boulder, Colorado gets $22 million. The city of Boulder, Colorado gets $22 million a year. That's before recreational use. $22 million a year in tax from medicinal purpose marijuana. So now recreational use, they're looking at $60 million. Hey, let's legalize this stuff. Because if we charge tax, and see, smoke a cigarette, it just kills you. Smoke weed, you feel good about it killing you. Hey, what a way to go. But you know what? We've gotten our morals all mixed up. It's federal law says, you know what? This is going to be a nightmare. We've got to do something about this. And they were leaving the medicinal states alone. But they're not going to be able to leave this alone. If they leave these two states for recreational use alone, then guess what? It's going to be legalized all over the U.S. And guess what? We're going to have issues. We already have issues, which is why we're in the condition we're in anyhow. Now look, God's still on the throne. Everything's good. But do you see where our compass is getting a little off? Our compass is getting a little off where people have told us that if we don't accept certain things, that we're not tolerant and we're not loving. Well, you know, there's lots of things that I can agree to disagree with, but if it's book, if it's word, if that's what the Word of God says, don't be debating me about whether I'm tolerant or not. Debate with me about whether or not I'm going to honor the Word of God, or if I'm going to let the world frame me into its own mold. If there was ever a time for revival, it's today. If there's ever a time that the people of God need to understand what holiness is and get a hold of that for their lives, and to, as we talked about last week, behold, keep it before our eyes, keep our eyes on the Word, it's now that we need to be holding the Word, that we need to keep it in front of us, that we need to do what it says. And don't say, oh, you're one of those old fogies where, you know, you're just trying to keep everything the same and keeping people from moving forward, and you're trying to hold women down. And let me tell you something. The greatest thing that ever happened for women was Christianity. Because, see, they were subservient to men all throughout the Scripture. And so you can get into all the debates about the glass ceiling and men's salaries are more than women's salaries and all that stuff. Let me tell you something. We're nowhere compared to where we used to be prior to Jesus coming and setting people free. You know where it started? It started when they brought the woman who was caught in adultery before Jesus. And they brought her to Jesus. And they go, Jesus, we've caught this woman. Now, Jesus knew what the law said. We've caught this woman in adultery. The Bible says, the Word of God says, the law says, she should be stoned. Well, remember Jesus bent down on the ground and started writing something in the dirt with his finger? Probably because Jesus knew the law, he was probably writing, where is the man? Because the Bible didn't say you just stone the woman. The woman couldn't be committing adultery unless there's somebody with her. Jesus was probably writing, where's the man? But what did Jesus say out loud? Jesus said out loud, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. So here's these people who were religious zealots, right? Religious zealots, not Christian zealots, religious zealots. They knew enough to know Jesus knew their heart. So not one of them threw a rock or a stone because they knew that they had sin in their life, right? So, you know, the best thing that ever happened for women's rights is Christianity and Christ coming to the earth. So lots of times, you know, we live in a day of political spin, but don't allow political spin to enter into Christianity and let it become Christian spin. Because you can't spin the Bible. You can't make it be what you want it to be. It is what it is. And we will be judged according to it. And ignorance is not an excuse. My people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Which means if we're going to become holy, we have to have knowledge. If we're going to operate in holiness and make sure that our behavior is pleasing to God, the only way it will happen is not, see, the way the world says is okay, God's in this box. And so, therefore, let's fit the Christian in this box. And then let God bless this mess. But that's not the way it works. The way it works is Jesus said, this is the way it's supposed to be. This is what honors God. This is, if you want the best life that you could possibly live here on earth and thereafter, then here, in other words, the book, the Word of God, is the roadmap for the believer to get where you want to be. It's the instruction manual of how to live your life. There's no other thing that possesses truth but the Word. And if it does, then anything else that might be truth will have to line up with what the Word says. Now this morning, I put a comment on Facebook, and it was funny because I didn't go back and re-comment because everybody were commenting on their own. So I just let that feed go. I didn't even go back and say this is what I really meant by the post because it was self-explanatory. And it was something about that a woman can try all she wants to, but a woman is not going to take, and it works vice versa, a woman is not going to take a weak man and make him strong. You're not going to take an alcoholic man and make him sober. You're not going to take a man who runs all over the street with everybody else, and you're not going to come in and change him and make him to be what you want him to be. He is what he is until the Word of God gets a hold of him. And then the Bible says, don't be unequally yoked. Well, unequally yoked means with an unbeliever. And then these kids in church, and sometimes goofy adults who know better, right? Kids, we can make, you know, at least sit back and go, well, you know, they just made a bad decision. They'll figure it out. You know, but you don't want to let them make a mess of their life that of something they're never going to be able to fix. You know, you don't want them to make that kind of a mess in their life. But listen, you can't take somebody and think that because you're with them and because you're giving of yourself sexually that you're going to manipulate that person to be what you want them to be. You just are not. Their character and their integrity is what their character and their integrity is unless the Word of God gets a hold of it and changes it. See, we live in a world of posers. They can be what they think you want them to be long enough to get what they want. And it's not just in relationships, it's in the world. Walk into a store and be shopping for something, and watch how quickly those people can be what you need them to be so they can sell you something. Right? That's what happens in this life that we live in. But let me tell you something, in this world that we live in, we need to make sure that we don't allow the world to shape us into its mold. We need to shape ourselves into God's mold and what God said should happen. You can say, well, that's, you know, that was for Bible days. We're still in Bible days. I mean, it ain't over yet. Revelation hasn't been fulfilled. Even when it has, it isn't over. So we're still in Bible days. No, it wasn't for another time. The things that God talks about is for every time. You can say, but technology has come such a long way and they can do this and they can do that. What does that have to do with the Word? Technology has nothing to do with the Word. The Word's the same. We're to do the same. Well, they can do so much, they can make people live longer, but they can't make you live eternally. Only God can do that. Do you know that they've been able to duplicate a lot of things? But do you know what they haven't been able to duplicate? They can't go from scratch What is it that gives life in the human body? What is it that is the life flow that's flowing through your body? The blood. Well, guess what? Nobody, they've gone where they can clone people and everything else, but nobody's been able to come out and duplicate blood, because had they been able to do that, then we wouldn't have blood shortages when people were trying to give transfusions. They can't do it. They've taken hog valves and made hearts. They've taken mechanical valves. I mean, think of the things that they can do now. They've got prosthetics that if you've lost your leg, you can put it on your leg and it can read what your mind is saying, and yet that limb will walk for you. Did you know that? In other words, by looking at the signals of your brain, this prosthetic will just walk for you, like your other leg. Now that's come a long way, but nobody will be able to duplicate blood, because blood is the life within the human being, right? And that's not going to be duplicated. There are certain things that they can try and try and try with all the technology that they've got that they can't fix. You know, they can't raise people from the dead. The world can't raise people from the dead. But God can. So, we need to understand that it doesn't matter what the world's got going on. It don't matter that we live in 2012, getting ready to live in 2013. The word is just as applicable today as it was in any other day that the people have had the word. Some people go, I would love to have lived back in Bible days. Not me. There's not a better day to serve God and to be living than right now. Oh, you want to go back to Bible days? Go to 100 degree weather with no air conditioning. God's blessed us, ain't he? Air conditioning. Heat when it's cold. You know, insulation. All those things. If we were going to go back in time, I just want to go back long enough before somebody created bottled water. Because I can tell you right now, in the 60s, if you'd have told somebody, guess what, man? We're going to fill bottles up with water and sell them. Nobody would ever believe that. I mean, that just wasn't something that people were thinking about, was it? But look at the money. Soda companies now, the biggest part of their revenue, they're not seeing growth in soda. They're seeing growth in water and energy drinks. That's what's giving them growth in their revenue. Nobody would have ever thought that 30 years ago, but it's the truth. What is it that separates a believer from a non-believer? What is it that separates Christians from the rest of society? You know, we're supposed to stand out. You know, the Bible says that we're a peculiar people. We're supposed to stand out and to be a peculiar people because we do God's word. Do you know that's what makes us peculiar? What makes a believer and a Christian separate from the world is the fact that they are separated by his word. That's what separates us. That's what makes us a peculiar people, a chosen generation. That's what the word does. In other words, we're not doing what the rest of the world does. We don't see the world as the rest of the world sees it. Because if we see it through the eyes of the word, we're going to look at things a lot different than we look at it right now. You know, people live by man-made concepts, right? There's people that they can go out and make a comment and people think that that's Bible. But there's lots of things that people say and try to attribute it to the Bible, and it's not Bible whatsoever. God helps those who help themselves. Show me that in the scripture. That's not Bible. At all. But people act like it is. You remember that song, "We are the world, we are the children." Remember that? Willie Nelson said, just like in that song, Willie Nelson goes, just like Jesus turned the stones into bread. Yeah. He just wrote a new book, by the way. It says, "When I die, roll me up and smoke me." No, he did. That's his new book. He's 80 years old and still a marijuana proponent. Yet he quit smoking weed and he's in the gym every day. Because he figured out, if I keep smoking this stuff, it's going to kill me. Whenever there's an issue in the life of a believer, whenever you and I are having an issue, confronting an issue or whatever, the only thing that makes us different from anybody else is if we respond according to God's word. That's holiness. Holiness is that we respond and live by the word. If not, we're no different than anybody else. And of course, allowing the Spirit of God to transform our lives helps too. Look with me, if you would, this morning to 2 Corinthians. I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and go down to verse 18. Second Corinthians 3:18. "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." Listen, you want to win people? You don't have to preach to people to win people. You know how you win people? You love people. You know how you win people? You be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. But, you know, because that's your conviction, you don't necessarily need to jam that conviction down anybody else's throat. You just live your life according to that. Understand that you have peace and understand that you have joy and understand that when bad things come your way, you don't have to succumb to that. And you can keep your head high and still have joy and a positive attitude in the middle of all of that. And you know what? People will be watching your life. And they'll be going, "Wow, do you know they went, how did they?" And they'll ask you, they go, "How do you do that?" And then that gives you the opportunity to say, "Wait a minute, that's not me. That's God. It's not me, it's who's in me. And it's the confidence that I have in Him." That's the way you win people. You know, people have thought, you know, you can preach at a drunk all you want to, but a drunk's going to stay drunk till a drunk decides to change. You can say, "Well, that's not a very nice word." Well, but it's the right word. You know, we've tried to excuse behaviors now. Well, they have an addiction. No, they're drunk. You know, I mean, call it what it is. A person that's hooked on prescription medication is no better a drug addict than somebody's on illegal medication. And depends on who you talk to nowadays, whether it's legal or not. And if you're addicted to anything, is it any worse than being addicted to alcohol? The Bible says we're to be moderate in all things. Sometimes we're preaching to people, and yet we got our own addiction. Right? Preaching at people going, "Well, wait a minute." I remember my dad said something to me one time, particularly when I first started getting a hold of the word of faith thing. And talking about that I was free and all that kind of stuff. And he said something that really made me think, because he said, "Well, you know what, son?" He goes, look at all this exercise and all this other stuff that you do so that you don't end up like me. Because he'd been tough on his body, smoking and drinking, and his exercise was working until he passed out, you know, in the yard. You know, that was his idea of exercise. And you know what? It didn't stop me from doing the things that I was doing to try to eat right the best I could and to continue to exercise. But it did make me think and make sure that my motivation was right about that, and that I wasn't doing it because my dad had his first heart attack at 47 and his first triple bypass at 47 and a second one at 60. I'm in between those right now. Right? But I do it now because, number one, it's a stress relief for me to be able to go out and run during the day and work out. I feel better. And what good does it do to have a spirit so big that I can't fit it in this room if it ain't got a body to be in? Right? So you take care of the physical body because it houses your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So I figured out to take care of it. And no, I'm not motivated as a result of what my dad, how he lived his life and his physical body. But he made me stop and think, because originally I got saved because I didn't want to die and go to hell originally. And then that changed. My dad made me do some thinking with that. Because sometimes it's just easy to say. And when you're challenged, you got to go back to the drawing board and say, well, I'm challenged. But it you know, sometimes you're challenged and it makes you think. That's what God's word does. It challenges you and it makes you think. We behold Jesus through the word of God. God says, look, you came to me, but you're not going to stay where you're at. I'm taking you from glory to glory. And we can't allow him, and he's not going to take us from glory to glory unless we're sensitive to the word and we're allowing the word to be our guide. By the way, the Holy Spirit will always take us to where the word's going. The Holy Spirit will always illuminate within us what it is that God's trying to say to us through the word. Sometimes people are baffled because they go, well, I just keep hearing this thing inside myself over and over and over. Okay? Well, that would be a time to get in the Word and find out what is the Holy Spirit trying to say to you. Probably something He's already said to you. Probably something in an area where He's already trying to get you to that direction anyhow. It's just a matter of our getting in the Word. Sometimes we're blinded to a certain area because of our way or thought or our circumstance right this second. Well, I can't see how I can do that with all of this that I've got going on. Well, that sometimes is a problem, because God's saying you need to do it. And we're trying to make excuses for why we can't do it. But there's really no excuse, because with God, all things are possible. Therefore, that thing that we don't want to do, normally because we have a soul tie, in other words, we have this thing on the inside of us that where we're connected with somebody in a certain way, whether it's physically or emotionally, that we don't want to do what we know to do because it's not comfortable for us, because it would be, we have a soul tied to that and we just won't make a decision. Soul ties, that'd be a good sermon one day. Because a lot of things that have occurred in our life and didn't occur in our life happened as a result of we had a soul tie in a particular area that we would not break and would not sever and go where God wanted us to go, which God would have taken care of the soul tie thing. You know, sometimes we have people in our life that are God connections forever. Sometimes we have people in our life for a certain period, a certain season. All of those are good. You know, if you ever had people in your life that you have relationships with and you're thinking, okay, well, this is this is a relationship, and even though we're going a different direction, we want to keep a good relationship, but you know, you're busy, they're busy, everybody's busy doing the work of the kingdom. You still love that person. You still love to spend time with those people and all that stuff, but you just, with everybody's so busy in their direction, you can't keep the relationship like you had before. You want to, but it's just the way that thing works out. That's neither good nor bad. In heaven, we'll spend all the time we need to spend together, right? But there are some connections that are there for a short period of time just to get us to where God wants us to go. Sometimes it's getting both people to the direction they want to go. Sometimes it's a lifetime connection. And sometimes it's just very brief. God will put people in our life to meet that immediate need right that second. Sensitive, we love them right off the bat. It's interesting how that works. The Bible is not like an option. For believers, the Bible is a necessity. You know, it's like you're eating. You know, they use the scripture. God uses all throughout the scripture the analogy of the word being like our daily bread. Why is that? Because just like your physical body is fueled by food, your spiritual body is fueled by spiritual food, the word. Your spirit will dry up, blow up, go away, shrink, if you don't feed it. What could be worse than an anorexic believer? Because an anorexic believer is a non-effective believer. I promise you this, not many of us get up and go outside in the mornings till we've fed our body. Or at lunchtime, fed our body. Sometimes between breakfast and lunchtime, continually feeding our body. And then we could have had a full dinner, we're so stuffed we can't move, and I'm guilty of this one, and go, let's stop at the Dairy Queen, get a Butterfinger Blizzard. Woo! I done ate all this other stuff, might as well blow her out. But you know, you don't hear a bunch of people going, I'm going to stop right now and go to the church and just sit there and get me a bunch of word. Isn't it amazing? The most important part. And this morning, in my prayer time, I was praying, and I was praying about some specific needs that I got. And I'm thinking, so this, my spirit man was like, okay, we have not because we ask not. So I need to ask, and I need to be specific. And then after I ask, then I just thank God for that and continue to thank him that he's met that need. So I'm going to be specific about it, right? But then something rose inside of me on top of that says, you know what, let's get first things first. You know, let's make sure all the things with the spirit man is right. Because it doesn't matter about these specific things. If I got the spirit man right, and I've got the spirit man where the spirit man needs to be, and all that stuff's exactly like it ought to be, then when I get specific about the needs, then that's just going to happen. Have you ever noticed when you're living like that, all that stuff just happens like it's supposed to? When we're lined up exactly like we're supposed to be lined up, we're exactly where we ought to be, our attitude's exactly like it ought to be. Have you ever noticed all that other stuff's just okay? If some little something comes our way that any other time would have just got us all off a kilter, if it comes our way, we're like, eh, yeah, whatever, you know, it's just that stuff that happens. I'm not getting my eye off of what God said. But sometimes we allow things to come in, get us all upset in the spirit, man, get us away from the word, messes you up. Everybody's guilty of that. Everybody has gone through that at different phases of their life. But guess what? All those things that we're asking God for, till we get that spirit relationship right, you know, till we get all that stuff under the blood, and our goal is to seek after, stay after, and be on the Word, and no matter what, we're going to try to make decisions based on the Word, then the other stuff ain't going to happen right either. And just one little thing, you know, can get you off base if that other relationship isn't right. We need to be concerned about the things of the Spirit, that we've gotten everything in check, that Word is guiding everything that we do. We can't just talk about the immediate things that I got going on right now, this need, that need. That's all good. He said to ask, and we should. But you know what? The big concentration should be on that I'm right. I know I'm right, but that my behavior's right, that my holiness is right, that I'm seeking the right things, that I'm speaking the right things, that I'm following after the things that God wants me to follow after. Very, very, very important. The mark of a believer, the thing that should set us apart, is our ability to be able to stay with the Word no matter what's going on around us. That should be our distinguishing mark. When everybody else is going, oh yeah, you know, and they're talking about how bad things are and blah, 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 and you know, this is happening and that's happening, and you know what they're talking about doing at work when they're in the break room talking about the Publix bakery mess, and they're over at Walmart talking about the mess and talking about all the bosses over there in the city of Lakeland screwing up another road somewhere, and you know, we never planned for this growth, so let's all just go one direction. I mean, and when everybody's complaining and all that kind of stuff, were we able to pull our... The only distinguishing mark for us is, were we able to pull ourselves out, keep on God's Word, and not get caught up in that? Because if we get all caught up in that, then we're no different than anybody else in there. Now, and you can say, but there's other believers in there, but that other believer isn't us. And what do they really believe? And what kind of fruit do they have from their belief? You know, me and Miss Judy's talked about people that she knows, even some people in her family, that they believe the Word as far as getting saved. But if you ask them about anything else, they'll say, well, some man just wrote that. Well, some man just wrote that about being saved too. Why would you do any of it? Right? So we can say, but other believers, so when we're in there participating, other believers were doing it too. Therefore, it should be okay. But we know that other believers aren't being taught and believing what we say, which is what the Word says, is that we are not just hearers of the Word. And when it talks about Word, it's encompassing all the Word, not just one Word. We're not hearers of just like one Word, get saved. But we're hearers of the Word, what the Word says, the guidebook, the roadmap for believers to get where we want to be. Being transformed by the renewing of our mind, right? The only way is to change the way we think. And we can't, you know, sometimes we've even got caught up in that, haven't we? We've gotten caught up in that, well, you know, other believers are doing that. And people get caught up in, well, you know, I go over there because it's close. Well, That's not a reason why you go to a certain church. You go to a church where you're called. You go to a church where you're getting fed. You go to a church. It doesn't matter where that's at. Did God say, look, I'm going to provide a church for you within every mile and a half? I mean, that's Walmart's philosophy. Walmart wants to have,
a center within so many miles, and they've really become successful at that in many areas of the U.S. Out west, they still haven't done as much of that, but they're pretty strong. But that's not what it says. What it says is, you know, where we go to church could be a matter of life and death. Where do you get fed? What are you being taught? That's very important. People come in here and they'll go, well, this is a startup. And I'm like, no, it's the oldest startup around probably. So not really a startup, but I'll say, what are you looking for? And they'll say, well, you know, we need a place for the kids and all that. Well, that's great. But I've started asking them, okay, that's good about the kids, but what about you? Because the kids would probably need something different if the parents were right. And if they've left somewhere to go somewhere else, that means that the parents is needing something too. They didn't leave. I promise you they didn't leave because the kids needed something. They left because they needed something. Or they've got something going on. They didn't leave because of the kids. But they blame it on the kids. That's their excuse for what they're looking for. We'd be loaded by now. And then we have those that come in and say, we loved it. We want to come back. Do you always preach till 12:15 or 12:30? And I'm like, you wouldn't like it here. And they go, you do tell them that? I go, yeah, I do tell them that. I've had several people ask me that. Do you always go till 12:15 or 12:30? And I don't want to get into, I don't care about beating the Baptist to the steakhouse and all that stuff. So I just tell them, I go, you know what, this probably isn't going to be the place for you, because they're already trying to tell me what to do, like God's on a time limit. Boy, they'd have never come back if they'd have come to a Pastor Philip meeting, wouldn't they? They wouldn't even talked about it. After they got up off the floor, they'd have ran out. You know, it's amazing. God's our number one priority. The Word of God means everything to me. As long as you get it done by noon. When problems happen, and they will. When things crop up, circumstances, situations, the first response should be Word. It's got to be. There's not been a real lasting change within us unless when those things come, the first thing that comes out is Word. I've told you, take an orange and squeeze it, you get orange juice. A problem that you're walking through, a circumstance or a situation that you're going through, is you getting squeezed spiritually. Okay? So if you're getting squeezed spiritually, what should come out? If I'm a believer, it should be Word. That's what should come out. Not how I feel. Not what everybody else is doing. Not that it's everybody else's fault. Well, you don't know the life that I've lived. No. But I think you're getting ready to tell me. Doesn't matter about the life you lived. We're talking about right now, today. Well, you know, because of how I grew up, that's how I think. Well, guess what? When you come to Jesus, you have to change the way you think. Doesn't say, unless you were abused, you need to change the way you think. Unless you were mistreated, you need to change the way you think. Unless somebody lied to you, you need to change the way you think. We need to change the way we think. Doesn't matter about all that. That's what we're responsible for. We can sit there, hey, we can't fix what we don't acknowledge. And when we take, what is the Word of God anyhow? Living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword. In other words, doing spiritual surgery to show us areas that need to be fixed. In other words, when we open ourselves up from the inside out and look at ourselves versus what the Word says, then we need work. There's some stuff that needs to be cut out and thrown away. There's some transplanting needs to happen. Bad heart replaced with a good heart. And, you know, stuff, pluck it at its root. Get rid of all bitterness, anger, wrath, clamor, evil speaking. And replace it with love, gentleness, kindness, meekness, faith, temperance. You know, Scripture's pretty plain about that. Look with me, if you would, to John chapter 17. John chapter 17. And Dougie, can you put that up in the Amplified, 17:15? I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you will keep and protect them from the evil one. Next verse. They are not of the world, worldly, belonging to the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, purify, consecrate, separate them for yourself, make them holy. Look here. By the truth, your word is the truth. The only way that purity, consecration, separation happens is by the truth, and the only way the truth happens is by the word. That's why it says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He whom the Son makes free is free indeed. So you know what? If somebody pulls out in front of us when we leave here and irritates us, you know, I guess we'll find out real good if we need work in purification and sanctification and all those other areas. And why do we really get upset about that anyway? Not that it's, we shouldn't be concerned that people drive crazy. But what I mean is, why is it that just set me off? Why is it when we walk into a store or the bank and all them people there and they got one aisle open? It ain't just Walmart. Go into a bank nowadays. Walmart, Sam's, banks, Publix at times have been that way. But I mean, but really, what is it that gets us so fired up about that? Normally, it's because we're in a hurry. Don't these people know I'm in a hurry? Don't they know that people have got to get back to work? And most of them in there yelling the loudest are retired and ain't got nowhere to go but the Hamptons. And Shalimar. Hey, and they get other people fired up. You know, the people that are in there complaining, I could have come in there with a good attitude, but this person is behind me. And before it's over with, they got me thinking like that. I go, I know it's sorry, ain't it? You can't get good help no more, bless God. We get all fired up. But really, why did we get upset? Why did we get upset? They pulled out in front of me. They shot me, that one-fingered bird. You know, they, whatever. But really, and what's that all about? That's a pride thing. It really is. It's a attitude thing about us, because don't they know I'm in a hurry? And they're probably sitting there thinking, well, why didn't you leave earlier? Right? Well, I should have left plenty of time. By the time I left, it should have been plenty of time. No, it was plenty of time for the original plan. But if you knew that you're going to get all out of kilter because somebody did something to make you late, then plan on being a little. We have family members. If it's going to be at noon, tell them 11. Do y'all have those family members? Sometimes I might be that family member. But I meant to be on time. Jesus prayed a prayer. Look at John's this prayer here. Look at verse 18 in the same John 17. Look at 18. Just as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And so for their sake and on their behalf, I sanctify, dedicate, consecrate myself, that they may also be sanctified, dedicated, consecrated, made holy in the truth. And remember, truth is the word. Neither for those alone do I pray. It is not for their sake only that I make this request, but also for all those who will ever come to believe in, trust in, cling to, rely on me. Not just for people in Bible days, just because it wasn't your Bible days, but even all the believers to come, me and you, our kids, our grandkids, and all them that are there before. We are a peculiar people, purchased by the blood of Jesus, the scripture says. What makes us peculiar? Only one thing, the word. It makes us peculiar because we're supposed to be separated, set apart, sanctified by what? The word, which is the truth. That we don't get affected by the other stuff that goes on. Listen, if you think, you know, in politics we talk about sides, right? And it's sides because one person has decided they're going to vote one way, and another person's decided they're going to vote another way, so it's sides. But the truth of the matter is that it don't matter about one side or the other. The truth of the matter is that we definitely don't know the truth about any of them. We don't know the truth about what's really going on overseas. Why we're at war. Why we're pulling out of war. Lots of the stuff that's going on in those places, we'll never really know the truth. That stuff happening with all the computer systems going down in Iran that's running that missile stuff, you don't think the U.S. knew anything about that? You don't think Israel knew anything about that? You don't think that there's people that have seen something that they shouldn't have seen? That the CIA and U.S. operatives had to relocate them? Or maybe did better than relocate them? Made them disappear for national security interest. And you think that some of those shows that we see on TV about how people are trained to do certain things and how things are going on, and then when the police show up, everything's all cleaned up after something's happened. You don't think that they have, that stuff like that really goes on? You don't think there's stuff that you don't know about? But it doesn't matter about all that. What really matters is the truth of the Word of God, and how we live our life according to the truth of the Word of God. There's a lot of Christians that have allowed themselves to become like the world. They've allowed the world to shape them into their mold. We all could be guilty of that if we're not careful. You know, so we can say, oh yeah, I could say, well, I listen to preaching all the time, and I surround myself with the Word all the time, and I think I'm doing to the best of my ability. But the bottom line is, every one of us could do better. Every one of us could cling to the Word better. Every one of us could be more aware of what we were saying, what we were doing, who we were around, how we were influencing them, and some of the things that we said. Don't matter, you take the greatest preacher on earth, there's not one that's ever been without controversy. We need to be set apart by God and not necessarily blend in with society and like look as much like the world as we can, act as much like the world we can, and then still say that we're separate. And I've heard people go, well, you know, to the world, I've tried to be myself to whoever they are. Well, no. Well, to Paul says, to the Romans, I was Romans. To the Jew, I was a Jew. What he meant was he would go in and talk to them based on what it was that they knew. But that didn't mean he went in and got away from the word and acted like he didn't know any word just to blend in with them. It meant that he hit the points that they were talking about and that they knew and that they were educated about. And he was a big stickler. Remember, the Jews had this real big issue about that they needed to, that the men, that Christians needed to be circumcised. And Paul goes, wait a minute now. That's talking about a circumcision of the heart, not a physical circumcision. He's going, we shouldn't make Gentiles make themselves be a Jew in all these other ways, which is only representative anyhow. If they weren't born a Jew, they're not a Jew. We shouldn't put laws on them, you know, that they would have to mutilate their body and that they would have to do all these things. Let's just stay away from food sacrifice to other gods and blood. Because the life is in the blood. It's not going to be duplicated. And don't put a bunch of stuff on them. And that's what Jesus' issue with the Pharisees and the Sadducees were. They were saying, you need to obey all these rules that they didn't obey themselves. Straining at a gnat and swallowing a camel, I think, was an illustration. And guess what? We still live in a world today where there are ministers that try to get people to do the same thing. In other words, they try to get people to deal with the way the things are on the outside rather than deal with things on the inside, which are the important things. And you can take a hog and bring him inside, put him in the bathtub, make him smell like bubble bath. You let him out, he's going to go run and dump belly and nose first right back in that mud mess. Nothing changed other than he was clean and he didn't even like it. Couldn't wait to get back out there and get in the middle of that mess. Right? It's no different for believers. It's what happens on the inside. What happens on the outside happens as a result of what goes on the inside. Jesus goes, you religious people, you know, you're talking about all this stuff that you do on the outside, washing your hands and doing all this stuff, washing the cups. He goes, isn't it more important what goes in a person rather than what's on the outside? Was the point he was trying to make. God separates us from evil. We should separate ourselves from things that we know that we're evil. When the world sees us, they should see something different. Not that we've tried every way we can to blend in with the world. Not that we shouldn't try to win people. But we're not going to win people when we try to be as much like them as we can. And then say, oh, the only difference is I have Jesus. If that was the case, everybody be one. That, you know, because if the world looked at how most Christians act, they would say, excuse me, most Christians is not a good term, how many Christians act, is that why would I want any of that? I got that already. We got believers, say they're believers, yet they've got unforgiveness in their heart. And they're just as mad at their family and people that they know as the world is. And they talk about it. And then wonder why nobody wants to come be with Jesus. They go, I can get that without coming to church. I got that. That is good preaching right there. I don't care what you think. When the world, listen, I'm talking about the difference. We're living in a world right now that's experiencing recession. You can say whatever you want to. You can say the numbers are improving. I don't know anybody today. I don't care who you blame. Previous president, this president. Blame whoever you want to. But anybody that tells us that they were better off financially today than they were 4 years ago is the exception and not the norm. People are hurting. The programs that we have out there to help people, those programs are scrapped because so many people are hurting and need help. More people lost homes than they'd ever lost them before. But what does that have to do with us? What does that have to do with the Word? What does that have to do with our relationship with God? The bottom line is, we're of this world, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. So it shouldn't matter what goes on around us. Even if we've had a bad situation, we've had a bad circumstance, even if we've walked through some stuff, we shouldn't be participating with the world talking about this stuff the way the world talks about the stuff. So if we are in a recession, we should be set apart. We should be different. We should be talking differently about it than the world talks about it. Right? We should even be thinking about it differently, really, than the world thinks about it. And we need to be really careful of our words, because the scripture says he would meet all our need according to his riches and glory. That he owns all the cattle and all the silver and all the gold. And so if that's the case, and nothing with God is impossible. So somebody could be in tremendous debt right now and tomorrow it'd be gone. In weeks, days, months, the whole thing could change. But it doesn't matter even about that part. We should believe that God can do that, because he's done it many times. Okay? But we should also understand that it doesn't matter if everything else is going crazy, God's going to take care of us because he said he would. That would be a different mindset than what the world has. Politically, they're arguing about it because each one wants to get elected. It's what you do. You talk about it negatively, whichever side you're on. No, they did it. No, they did it. No, they did it. No, they did it. It's the way it is, isn't it? Oh, we had it all ready to go, but the Democrats said no. Democrats said, you know what? All they got to do, we'll sit down to lunch. That thing will be signed tomorrow. That's all you got to do. None of it's true motivation. We're set apart. We should be experiencing something different financially. Talking finance. If we were living, talking, acting like the Word said, we wouldn't be experiencing what the world's experiencing. You can say, well, I could say that, but I wouldn't believe it. You would if you kept speaking it and didn't speak nothing else. Because if you kept speaking the Word, then your mind would get renewed to what your heart already has happened. And then it'd be right. When we're in agreement with God's Word, he can connect us to the supernatural. He can help us stand out from the rest of the world. And many Christians want to do what's right. We really do. We want to do what's right. But sometimes we still struggle We think that because we got rid of the drugs and the alcohol and because we've attended church regularly that we've gotten rid of all the sinful actions. That's what I thought. Hey, drugs gone, alcohol's gone, I'm married now, don't have to worry about that whole other area. But then people go, but you have to love. Well, you know what? I've been saved 30 years. Drugs and alcohol went like the first year. Ain't we all still working on the love one? And we thought the drugs and the alcohol was the biggie. Love. Forgive. Be gentle. Be kind. Just be nice. Don't worry. Be happy. That's easy for you to say. You didn't. Right. We all have been there, haven't we? And isn't it easy to get sucked in with the people around us when they're getting all caught up in negativity and us sit there and participate? You can say, well, but we was all in the break room. Well, guess what? That door you came in, you can go out that same door. They didn't lock you in when you went in there. And then we talk about what we watch. Guess what? You can say, well, you know what? We just ain't having a TV in our house. Well, you know what? If you have zero self-control, don't. If you look at things on the computer you ought not to look at, then don't look at the computer. If you're watching things on TV you ought not to watch, it does have an on and off button. It also has a clicker, a channel changer, where you could put it on something better. Radio, same way. It's not what is on the outside that messes you up. It's what's on the inside. Garbage in, garbage out. And you know what? So we sit there and we talk about these major things. But it's the everyday little stuff that we've allowed to creep in and still allow to creep in that can just really keep you from being effective. We all have struggled with addictions and habits that we can't seem to break even with our own willpower. It's true. But when we delight ourselves in the Lord, what's the word say? Give us the desires of our heart. He'll deliver us from bondage. And He will also change the desires of our heart. Because really, I'm going to teach a message here as soon as the Lord lets me loose with it. And I'm going to title it, How to Receive Anything from God. Okay? And if I were to say, okay, what do you think the number one key is to receive from God? What would you say? Go ahead. Money? Okay. Huh? Okay. Forgiveness, which would be right back up in love. But the number one thing to receive anything from God. Okay, so see, money, forgiveness, the whole love walk. Anybody else? Huh? Faith? Hope. Huh? Hope. Those, huh?
Joy.
You know what, huh? Well, all those are great, wrong, but great. But the number one thing to receiving anything from God is to know the will of God. Because see, sometimes people would say belief, faith. You know, we think those speak. You know, we think those are the biggie. But really anything that we would hope, think, believe, have faith in would have to be based in my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So the number one thing would be to know the will of God on that subject. You want to know how to receive anything from God? Know the will of God. And you know, if you know the will of God, and it has to do with sickness, you know that the will of God is to heal. Period. To heal. And God uses people to heal. He uses doctors. But God heals. His will is to heal. He sent His Son to take the stripes to His back for healing. We know it's His will that we're prosperous. We know it's His will that we're blessed. We know it's His will that we're saved and that we're forgiven. We know it's His will that we love. We know anything that you want to receive from God, first of all, you have to know His will before you can even believe. Rightly. Right? So that's why it's so important. If we're going to change our behavior, if we're going to change the way we think, if we're going to be holy, then we have to know what the rules are, don't we? Don't we need to know? I tell people, you know, these clinics that I go to, they'll change personnel. And when they change personnel, they kind of change up the way they do things there. So I'll walk in like I always do. And when I go in, they'll go, oh, wait a minute. You're supposed to do this or that. And I go, well, I'm sorry. I go, I've always just walked on back here. And they go, well, it's always been a policy. It's just nobody really enforced it. And that's our policy. I go, look, as long as I know the rules, I can play the game. And it should be that way about anything within the Scripture. And there's still stuff that we don't know all of God's will on yet. But we're going to learn. We're going to keep going. We're praying for revelation, asking God to give it to us. But you know, I think that if Jesus were here today and we were to ask Him, but Jesus, where would you have us start? And He would probably say, well, just do what you know. Just do the will that you already know. Right? There's stuff we do know. Are we doing that? That would be a great place to start. Well, I've blown it and I've made mistakes. Well, when was the last time where you thought you were doing everything like you're supposed to do? Go back to there and do what you know to do. There's always a place to start or there'd be no hope. Hope is good and hope is necessary. But there always has to be a place that we start. So let's start today. Let's start today to being the best word people we can be, and that we're not hearers of the word only, but doers of the word, and that we make ourselves aware of our circumstances, our surroundings, our situations, make sure that we're listening to what we hear ourselves say. And if we don't like it, ask God to forgive us and catch it and say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to get caught up in that. If they're getting you all caught up in it, then make a change. Do something different than you've been doing. Right? And you'll see something different happen. That's what that can't control everything that happens around you. But you can control how you respond. Right? Amen.
Amen.
Hope that helped. Made me feel good.
Hey.
Stand with me this week.